Blog Talk Radio.
Here on my time, New York City. The sun is setting. It's a damp day here. But we're going to have a cheery show because we're going to be talking about the late Don Rickles. They're having a tribute to him at the Museum of the Moving Image in Queens, New York. And they're presenting a day-long tribute, kicking off with John Landis's Mr. Warmth, the Don Rickles Project. And so we're going to have actually one of the organizers, Gabrielle Carotti, talking with us about this. And but first, I just had today. Oh, God, I haven't had my glass of milk in days, so.
Hey, Martha, why do you smile? I was just thinking, I'm here at Ronnie Brook Farms eating delicious grass, not being injected with some synthetic hormones. I just gave birth to another cutie calf and don't even have to deal with any bull. I hear you, Mar. You know what they call cows that can't give milk? No, what, Sal? Utter failure. So, where is our big daddy Ronnie? Probably somewhere exercising. Doing yogurt. At Ronnie Brook Farms, you'll find the best of dairy products. Our milks vary in butterfat from non-fat to heavy cream. Enjoy the creamy yogurts from the cup or one that you can simply drink with the best of culture without artificial thickeners or additives. We don't have sour cream. We do have creme fraiche. Butter is better when you can choose cinnamon toast to spread on bread or pancakes. And since we scream for ice cream any time of year, you'll love our 16% butterfat. Do you remember getting bottled milk delivered, opening it to find the cream on the top? That is how you'll find our sweet-tasting cream-lined milk. I'll hand it to you, Sal. Our milk may get past your eyes, but certainly not homogenized. Ronnie Brook Farms, where cows always seem to be in a good mood. Check us out at www.ronniebrook.com.
Oh, yeah. So now we're going to... Yes, gotcha. Yeah, I know. Gabrielle is on the line now. That's going to be talk. I have it right here. Don't worry about it.
Hello?
Wow. Yes, hi.
Hi.
How you doing?
Gabrielle, yeah. Hi, good. How are you?
Yeah, my rubber chickens, like, they, you know, interfere sometimes. They talk to me in the middle of the show.
Yeah, I heard.
So, tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me all about, first tell me all about the project. Now, this is, this, this, the basically, John Landers put this project together, and you're presenting this at MoMai. Am I correct?
No, actually. I put the project together. I was in touch with John Landis about showing his documentary, Mr. Warmth. I'm guest curating the program. I basically have been a huge fan of Don Rickles for many, many years, and was very saddened after he passed. I saw him live a bunch of times. I thought he was from Queens. Let's reach out to the Museum of the Moving Image to do a short tribute retrospective. So, and now it's happening.
Okay. So, I understand it's an all day tribute. Meaning what exactly
It's next, not this coming Sunday. Sunday after June 11th, and. Mm-hmm. Right now it's 2 screening tribute. We're showing John Landis's documentary, Mr. Warmth, the Don Rickles project at 4:30. Mm-hmm. And then we're screening a 35 millimeter print of probably Rickles' most famous turn on the big screen, Kelly's Heroes, opposite Telly Savalas, Clint Eastwood, Donald Sutherland, and Carol O'Connor from 1970. So, and then both the screenings will have surprises, let's just say, some appearances and that sort of thing.
Okay,
so, yeah.
We won't say.
And,
in other words, this is going to be more than just that you're going in and seeing 2 movies. There's going to be some discussion or talk or, you know, things like that.
Yes, to be determined, but there's going to be other stuff, not just the movies.
Right. It'll be an event and not just going in and seeing 2 movies.
Exactly.
Okay, which is great. So when did you decide to do this?
Well, I basically, after his passing, soon after, you know, I started, you know, kind of revisiting all his work and then read all the tributes. And then, you know, I actually did not realize he was from Queens. But when I thought, oh, he's from Queens, let's reach out to the Museum of the Moving Image in Queens to see if they'd be interested. So it was soon after his passing. And, you know, I've just been a fan. I ran the film program at BAM for a few years and have worked in film for many years and I could say friends with the folks at the Museum of the Moving Image, and I reached out to them and they were kind enough to let me have this little day of tribute. And, you know, it's a really the thing about Don Rickles is that he's obviously known as, you know, the King of Zing, as the series is called, and as a stand-up comedian. But he was also a great actor, and he was in a bunch of different films. But also he was on TV. You know, he had CPO Sharky in the late 70s on NBC. But you know, his most famous thing is his stand up. And it's really just even watching clips on YouTube, you see how, I mean, he never had any prepared material. It was all off the cuff, improvised.
Mm-hmm.
And and when you see YouTube is fantastic, and you dig through everything and you see things like some scripted segments that sometimes don't really jive with his style. And the funniest parts of the scripted segments is when he goes off script.
Right.
So, yeah.
Is it his zing that you're so appreciative in terms of comedy?
Well, I think he's his timing is impeccable. He's super. He's like the truly like the sharpest, one of the smartest, sharpest comedians ever. And I think, you know, there's actually a great quote from Scorsese, which we have used to promote the series, that calls him he says it was like listening to a great jazz musician. Nobody else did what he did, and that's what it is. And he also says that he made comedy into an art form. And there's also in the documentary, there's a Penn Jillette, the magician, performance artist, says something that I can't, I'm paraphrasing here, but he's basically says that he's, that Rickles is complete. It's pure art because he's totally not, he wants to get the audience's approval with his jokes, but he's fighting the audience by insulting them. You know what I mean? So it's kind of this incredible fine line where it could go catastrophically bad at any point, but it never does, you know? And he's just so incredibly talented. And there's this, you just, when you see him on all these talk shows, on Carson, on Letterman, on Kimmel, he just is insulting everyone, but he's just does it in such a way that he's, I mean, the people called the, you know, Johnny Carson called him Mr. Warmth, ironically, but not ironically, because you can tell there's
right.
deep love. It's all done in jest, and there's a love there, but he's just walking this fine line, and that's what makes him such an incredible comedian and incredible artist, really. And that's the thing, and it's like this. Sorry, it's like an improvisation. It's
right.
And Scorsese, you know, incredibly eloquent. He calls it jazz, which is true. It's like this. And then there's also I mean, through all the, you know, digging through all this stuff, there's this there's somewhere I can't remember where I saw. There's this great outtakes from Casino. From when he's just making De Niro just crack up on set, and they couldn't even continue with the shoot because everyone was laughing so hard. So it's just like there was this constant thing. But at the same time, he was a consummate professional, and he was obviously, he was working in obscurity for many years, you know, and he was working strip joints, and then. When he got to, I'm not positive, but I believe is when he essentially got to Miami Beach, and where the, you know, the Hollywood stars were vacationing, is that he essentially got discovered somewhat because he started making fun of all the, you know, very famous people, the celebrities. So then he started, and this was, you know, years later. So.
Yeah. So let me ask you, like, for instance, not to compare, but it's sort of like, I mean, Joan Rivers used to kind of do that.
Yes. Yes.
But in a different
Joan
way.
Rivers is, it's different. I mean, you also, when you see there's that incredible Joan Rivers documentary, in that she had this archive of jokes, right? And this, like, it was, I think it was like this card catalog of jokes. And that's different because Rickles didn't really have any, he didn't have a joke writers, but I'm not positive if Joan Rivers didn't, maybe not, but he didn't, it was all like in his head. And he would recycle some jokes. There's the stuff that he would always say, but at the same time, it was different. They weren't jokes in the same way. They weren't one-liners. You know, they weren't. It was pure Don Rickles. And there's actually there's this Living Color, I believe, where Jim Carrey plays Don Rickles, imitates Don Rickles, but it's completely not funny because he's doing somewhat of a fine imitation of him insulting people, but it's not funny. It's just him doing a poor Don Rickles imitation. And he's a great imitator of, obviously, but he's not, it doesn't work. It only works when Rickles is doing Rickles, you know?
Yeah. There's the facial expressions too.
There's the facial expressions. There's the timing is what's incredible is that he does it at the precise moment where it's the funniest. Like when he's like, you know, he's roasting Ronald Governor Reagan, President Reagan. He roasted everyone. Obviously, there's the famous Frank Sinatra story where he I kind of don't want to give it away because it's a great story from it's in the documentary. But let's just say he pulls a fast one on Sinatra while Sinatra's you know at the Copa, I believe. But there, it's just, and the documentary is a beautiful tribute, but it's also it has everything. It's not just a story about him. It, you know, it has home movies of him and his wife and Bob Newhart and his wife, and they're all traveling in China, and it's very like more than just like this straight telling of the story of Don Rickles by Don Rickles, really. But and
well, by the way, am I right in that Don Rickles wasn't one that people, you know, put up on in the media all his personal things? You know how people go
after. Sorry,
In other words, he didn't have anything that people had to, you know, talk about his marriage, you know, personal stuff that really that we don't really care about.
Oh, exactly.
When someone's an entertainer,
but I mean,
shouldn't care about.
Oh yeah, exactly. But in a way, it's like a lot of people. There's always something that people can dig up, right?
Right.
But I mean, everyone wants to find out about a celebrity's personal life, right?
Right.
It's almost like there's, you know, it was what it was, you know. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean, because I don't seem to like in my head recall that he was one, you know, that I took that was gone after.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, I guess one thing someone could be like, oh, his insult comedy is offensive to many people. It's offensive to many different people, different races or different, you know, any ethnic backgrounds or religious people that are offended. But, you know, I mean, you have, everyone laughing at all his jokes, you know, from, you know, Denzel Washington to, Frank Sinatra to, you know, politicians to, and so it didn't really, that was never an issue, you know? And I think that would be his most, if anyone could criticize, that would be what people would criticize. But all the tributes, there were tributes, but the New York Times obituary, for example, nothing negative or nothing.
Right.
To
you
say.
Know, we didn't have to know whether whether he drank or not. There wasn't any of that kind of.
Also because he didn't drink, yeah.
And yeah, I mean, so there wasn't.
He lived and traveled with his mother since he was like until he got married in his late 30s. So, which is in and of itself is fantastic. Like that's a great kind of microcosm of Don Rickles, is the fact that he took his mother all around to all his shows and
okay.
She would sit and you know she would be in the audience and. She'd travel with him, and this was after he was already famous and before he was married.
Is there now, in terms of his living in Queens, because you know I'm writing for Queens newspaper, in terms of his living in Queens, till how long did he live in Queens?
Well, he was born in Queens, and then he went to a high school in Queens, and I think he enlisted in the Navy, and then essentially I think he was in Queens from when he was born to when he was probably 18. His
okay,
whole
so,
youth went to Newport High School.
Right, so there was nothing in terms of do you know if he'd like started doing any kind of comedy when he was that young?
Well, he was definitely doing comedy for his, you know, his family and cracking everyone up and I guess making fun
yeah,
of
the way,
kids at school.
Right, and, like I do.
Yeah, but at the same time, but then he actually was a, so he enlisted in the Navy and after the war he was, he went to the American Academy of Dramatic Arts. So he wanted to be an actor and he decided to, you know, he always was an actor, and he was a very good actor, but he was a comedian for, he then decided to become a comedian, because that was his talent. But his, you know, his, he was someone who, he was in a lot of different types of movies, and then he had a resurgence, obviously, with Casino, but also with Toy Story. The Toy Story movies, as Mr. Potato Head, but he got the acting bug young, and he was actually I think the president of his drama, the drama club at Newport High.
Oh, okay. So he started doing something when he was.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And then, so then he enrolled in the Navy, and I think he was in the Philippines for I think 3 years is the joke that he is a story. He was in the Pacific, and then after the war, he went to acting school.
Oh, okay. So now, and I understand that the movie itself, Mr. Warmth, is. On Netflix?
It is on Netflix. It's on Netflix. It's also, I think it's currently on Netflix. You know, they have stuff that's sometimes on, sometimes not on. But, you know, we're projecting it obviously in the theater. I think the thing is with that is comedy, for me, always plays better in a movie theater than at home. So.
Oh, yeah.
And the documentary is a straight doc, but at the same time, seeing it with a crowd is the best.
Of course.
You know, there's many movies I've seen at home.
Too.
That, yeah. I mean, when you see the Marx Brothers, when you see Duck Soup, like, on a DVD or versus seeing Duck Soup in a theater, it's very different.
Yeah. Oh, of course. The reason I'm asking is I was trying to find out if there's a possibility of getting a screener so that I could see it.
Oh, yeah. So I actually have the DVD. I can somehow get it to you.
Okay. But you don't have a screener, meaning like I go on the computer and click on something and watch it?
No, I don't. I can. It's. I have a DVD copy of it. That's my
okay.
personal DVD copy.
I think
copy,
I'd go
but,
because I keep getting these things on something with Vivio or something like that, and they send me a password and whatever, and I click on and I
I think I could, I have to inquire about seeing if we can talk to the rights holder if they get a screener copy like that. But
okay.
Yeah, but I know, so HBO, the movie premiered at the New York Film Festival. Then HBO, it aired on HBO. And then it, I'm not sure if it played theatrically, like in movie theaters, but then it was on home video.
Okay. So, so when the project, when did the project, like when would, did it begin, and when did this thing come out? The Mr. Warmth.
The documentary?
Yeah.
Mr. Warmth, I actually am not totally sure, but I know, so the film, it premiered at the New York Film Festival in 2007.
Okay, so in other words, this had nothing to do with his death.
No. The documentary was a film. It was a and I'm not actually, what's interesting about the name of the film, the name is called Mr. Warmth, the Don Rickles Project. I think, I mean, it's a documentary because it's documenting, it's nonfiction, it's documenting his life. But I think the fact that it's called a project is very, it's very telling by John Landis, who's a great comedy director. I think he, it was like this work that he was working on. I don't know if he set out to make, I'm not sure the whole genesis of it, but I don't know he set out to make a straight documentary. I'm not positive, but yeah. So the film was probably, I don't know the background, but I think it was shot over maybe a couple of years in the mid aughts. And it premiered in 2007 at the New York Film Festival.
Yeah, because I saw some clips and I went, well, it can't be that new, because we're looking at people like Robin Williams.
Exactly. Yeah.
And Joan Rivers, and I'm going, well, obviously this is at least a couple of years old when it was shot. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so no, this is it's been 10 years. So, and I saw, you know, so yeah, he was 80 when it came out.
Okay.
Or
do you think between in the 10 years there would have been more to say or to show or something?
I'm not. Maybe. I mean, I'm not sure. I think he's someone who, I think what's very telling about Don Rickles is, so he was, you know, he was a guest on Carson. He was a guest host many, many times, like over 30 times or something. He was a guest on Carson, like over 100 times. And then in 1983, I believe, he then was a guest. It was like the first or second season of Letterman, and he was a guest on Letterman for the first time. And then he was on Letterman for many, many times, you know, from late night to then The Late Show. And he, and then when, you know, Jimmy Kimmel is obviously younger than David Letterman, and then he started appearing on Jimmy Kimmel, and that's in the last, it was in the last 10 years. Cause I can't remember what Kimmel's show was when 2003. So, I mean, yeah, he probably started appearing on Kimmel around the time the documentary came out, but he then appeared many, many times on Kimmel. And, you know, and Kimmel was a huge fan of Rickles and had a very tearful tribute after he passed. And
mm-hmm.
So basically it's almost like every major American talk show host was always, he was a fixture on these shows. And I say that in the best way possible, a fixture, because he was hilarious and the best host ever. And as, you know, talk show hosts, they have segment producers, and, you know, they're quite, you know, the producer meets with the guest and talks about sort of questions that might get or will get asked. And, you know, they figure it's not totally scripted, but it's, you know, prepared. And Rickles was that. It's obviously none of it was ever prepared. He was on the show.
Oh, right.
So and those, you know, those appearances on Carson are just legendary, and you see them one after the other. And what's funny is that you watch them and they're and you see these appearances and you can just tell, you can tell just basically what they're wearing, and they're all similar, but they're getting, you know, the guests and Carson and Rickles are getting, he's getting slowly older. Rickles is losing more of his hair, less of a comb-over.
Right.
And, you know, the lapels are getting smaller in the 80s, and the sets are getting more, you know, and it's just, they're all like equally as hilarious. And then he goes on Letterman in 1983, and it's even better at the time, because Letterman was not someone who he, you know, it was his first, he was still a bit green at the time. And then he became very good friends with Dave, and he appeared so many times. So all of it is fascinating to explore too, you know.
Did it ever get to a point in his career where he was able to make fun of Donald Trump?
Actually, that's something
I'm just curious about. You know how?
No, I mean, I actually, well, obviously, as from what we know about Donald Trump, he can't take a joke. So I'm sure he, you know, what's the most incredible thing is they're both from Queens, and they both have the middle initial J. So they're both Donald J's from Queens.
Yes, right.
So, which is fascinating. But, you know, and Don Rickles is a lifelong Democrat, lifelong. And a lot of it, and it's very funny because, you know, he's roasting President Reagan. He's roasting Clint Eastwood. And these are people, you know, Republicans through and through, obviously. But he did that, like, with love, obviously. But, I mean, I'm not sure, you know, I guess because of the news and because of the current political climate, I guess you could say that I haven't been, I didn't research that on purpose. I just don't want to hear more about Trump. Rickles is such a pure
right.
untouched thing that I don't want to get Trump involved in that. So that's why I can't, that's why my answer isn't.
It would probably be hilarious.
Oh, I'm sure it would be. I'm sure it would be the funniest thing in the
Maybe somebody
bathroom,
will
you know?
Do an imitation of Don Rickles roasting Trump.
Yeah, roasting Trump. Yeah. And that would, you know, and it would not never be as funny as Don Rickles himself.
Oh, of course
Trump,
not.
But. Yeah, but actually, what's funny is that I think there's a tweet, maybe, I'm not sure, Don Rickles' tweet, after Trump got elected, maybe, it's almost, again, I don't really want to.
How about Obama?
Obama, I'm not sure, actually. I think he did.
At least Obama had a sense.
Obama talk about, he had great comic timing.
Yeah.
You know? He's very, very funny. I mean, he most likely
I think
didn't
Google it and see if, you know, stuff comes up
do.
Because that would be interesting to, that would be a good laugh. You know, it's when he, you know, when he roasts somebody, it's always a good laugh.
Yeah.
Right now, so I guess, so in other words, what you're saying, in terms of, I know you don't want to reveal some when you say surprises, certain people that will be showing up, but who, like, definitely will be there?
Well, I
aside
can't,
from you, you're going to be at this event?
I am, and, you know, I'm sure there's hundreds, if not thousands, of people that want to see me in person.
No, I'm
but,
I'm saying in terms of organizers.
Oh yeah, yeah. No,
or what,
I mean, I will definitely be there. Obviously, some museum, some folks from the museum. Yeah, exactly.
Would you expect? Do they expect John Landis to be there? Since he's
no,
the...
I mean. John Landis is in L.A., so
okay.
He's on the West Coast.
I was just curious. I can, you know, in terms of when I write the article, you know, I could just say some surprise or whatever, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
and
we're still ironing out the guests and the it's still very TBD. There's also – what I'm saying also surprises is in other things besides the movie.
Okay. No, that's great. I'm writing the article, because in terms of that, you know, it's funny. I'm looking at the thing about, you know, that studied alongside Anne Bancroft.
Yeah.
And there's a whole joke about her with her studying. She had gone to she was in the Bronx, and she went to Christopher Columbus High School. And the teacher there, the drama teacher, said to her, you'll never make anything of yourself.
Oh, really?
Yes.
That's great.
You'll never get anywhere. You know, you're not good. And it was
you're
like,
not good.
Well, that person,
I mean, that's,
was
that's
wrong.
A lot. That's the best. I mean, I'm sure there's many stories like that with many people. I feel like that's wonderful. Yeah. Same. I mean, I mean, I think, the thing about Don Rickles too, that I have, I never met him. I wish I'd met him, of course, but he was a very kind and wonderful man. By all, everyone said that, including I have a friend of mine, Matt Roberts, who I was a lot. You know, I talked to him at length. He was a producer for David Letterman for many years and a writer. And my friend became an executive producer at Letterman for the last few years. I can't remember how many years, 3, 4, 5
Right.
years. And he and Don Rickles sent him a card. And he said he was, I think, again, don't quote me on this, but I think he was the only one of the only guests that ever sent him a card congratulating him.
Oh.
So I mean, and I mean, I'd rather you not quote me on that because I can't really confirm that. So I mean, for the
okay.
piece. But I know, but there's so many stories like that, and there's the Jimmy Kimmel. Cheerful, you know, tribute to him where he reads off the cards that he wrote. It's it's just incredibly moving.
Now, because I haven't looked at his bio. Did he have? Was there any siblings? Were there any offspring?
Oh, you're saying did Don Rickles have children?
Yeah.
Yes, he did.
Okay, I was also wondering, did any of them go into show business, or any of them in show business now, or?
I'm not positive. I know he had a son who passed away he was one of the producers of the film. And he passed away, and he was young, you know, he was 41.
Okay. So what, there wasn't somebody who said, hey, I want to be like my dad and be a comedian also?
I don't think so.
Okay. I was just kind of curious. Sometimes, you know, that, you know, many times that happens, that you have the sons of daughters who continue.
I know he has, he has a daughter too, Mindy. But I'm not sure what, actually I'm not sure what she does.
Okay. No, that's okay. I was just a quick, curious question, as they say.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to this, and I'm also looking forward to being able to see a screener. And by the way, is there a particular reason, like when they, in terms of Kelly's Heroes, was that the only movie that he was a feature in? Is that why they're choosing that?
No. I mean, we chose that because he's fantastic in it, first of all. But he's he's been in a, you know, he was in Run Silent, Run Deep, which is his first role. He was in The Rat Race. He was in the Frankie Avalon, Annette Funicello. Sorry, not The Rat Race. Is it The Rat Race? Yeah, he was in The Rat Race. Sorry. Debbie Reynolds and Tony Curtis. But he was in not all the Frankie and Annette beach party movies, but almost all of them. So yeah, he was in Beach Blanket Bingo, but I can't remember.
He outlived them all. I said he outlived them all.
Oh yeah, he outlived them. Frankie and Annette. I mean everyone. You know. Buster Keaton was also in one or two of those movies too. I mean, he obviously outlived Buster Keaton, but those are funny movies, and he obviously steals the show because they're, you know, very light movies. And supposedly the story is that I think Barbara Bush ribbed him for being in those movies. Because you know, they're not you know, the highest works of art. So she thought it was very funny that it wasn't.
Okay.
But he's great in those, and he's in The Man with the X-ray Eyes, with Ray Milland. And the thing is, and he's just, you know, he acted. He was obviously on countless Late Show appearances or Tonight Show appearances. I haven't even talked about the Dean Martin celebrity, the roasts, and he was obviously on those for, you know, numerous episodes. So.
Actually, I had just pretty recently seen Dina Martin performing.
Oh, really?
Yes. It was only about, I think, last month.
How was it?
It was very good. You know, the thing I didn't realize, I mean, I've seen her perform before. I didn't realize she started performing since she was a teenager. And they were showing clips and all kinds of stuff, and I went, oh, really? Has she been in showbiz? I just, you know, I thought that at some point she just, you know, as an older adult suddenly decided to do it, but apparently not.
Yeah.
So she was there, you know, singing with a band. It was a tribute to Frank Sinatra.
Oh, wow. That makes sense.
So,
right.
Yeah. But I just wanted to ask you a question. Like, what's your kind of background or whatever that, you know?
My background is I'm someone, you know, as far as just who am I or?
Yeah, in other words, in terms of even relating to this, like, so who are you that you're doing this? You know, you know what I mean?
Who am I? Why would I, like, who am I to do this? Why would I do
Yes.
this? Why and what gives me the right to do this?
Yeah. What gives you the right to do this?
I mean, I don't know. I have no, I don't have a doctorate in comedy or, you know, I'm just a fan, really. I mean, I worked in, I've been working in film for many years. I worked in film exhibition and I still do. And I ran the film program at BAM. I worked at Film Forum, worked in film distribution, New York Film Festival. And so that's my world. But and when one thinks of Don Rickles, one doesn't generally think of movies, but, you know, he was in many great movies, Casino being one of them.
Right.
And Kelly's Heroes, we've mentioned all the other ones. But I've just been a fan, and I saw him perform in Atlantic City my whole life, like when I was a child, I would see this guy on Carson and on these celebrity roasts, and I was, you know, I obviously didn't understand the jokes then, but then when I started getting into comedy, like more seriously in high school, I guess middle school, high school, and in college, I, you know, started appreciating Don Rickles. And then when I, right after college, I, in my, you know, early 20s, I saw him for the first time in Atlantic City, of all places. And obviously that's the perfect place to see Don Rickles, is in the big room at a casino. So,
right.
And then I found, you know, I'm a record collector too, and I, you know, every time, you know, I found the two records that he released, the Warner Brothers in the late 60s, and I became obsessed right away, and then I saw him a bunch of different times, and the last, you know, I guess
did
the
you,
last 15 years.
Did you happen to notice my name or wonder about it?
Yeah, actually, your last name. Yeah.
Yeah. I changed it to Exit so I could see my name up in lights.
Ah, that's good. I like it. Good. Did you actually legally
and
change
then,
it to
and
Exit?
Yeah, it's what I did. And also I
That's
say
good,
that
I
my
like
you know, people ask me if I come from Queens, I say no if my folks are straight.
Got it. That's good. That's a good joke. I like that. It's good. All good.
All good.
All good joke. No, very, very funny. But wait, what was I? There was something else I was going to tell you about. No, I can't remember.
As a comedian, you were going to say something?
There was some. I can't remember what I was going to ask or going to tell you about my something about me and Don Rickles. But
oh, okay.
No, I mean I'm a fan. I'm not a. That's
basically,
all I am.
You're a fan, and this gave
that
you an opportunity.
Yeah, I'm a fan and an opportunist.
Yes.
not that, but. I say that.
Yeah.
I say that in the best, funniest way possible.
And in a positive way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't blame you.
No, I mean the thing is, if I didn't have the foresight to do this 5 years ago, which I should have done it 5 years ago, for the 85th birthday, you know. But I didn't. And the thing is, and the place to do it is the Museum of the Moving Image in Queens. So.
Oh, of course.
So come on June 11th.
Oh yeah, I'll definitely be there. And as
and
I said, I'm looking forward to.
Have you ever seen Kelly's Heroes on a big screen?
No, I actually haven't. The only, I have seen him basically if I'm, you know, I'm watching TV and he's on a talk show, and I you know listen to him. Or I've seen him on roasts. That's the type of thing that I've seen him,
right.
As opposed to a movie.
Right. Yeah, I mean, what's great is, Kelly's Heroes is CinemaScope, widescreen.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a great 35mm presentation, widescreen. So it'll look great. Sound great. It's a beautiful theater to see it.
Do you know? And I'm sorry. I think you might have said, but what time is the event start?
So 4:30 is the documentary, Mr. Warm,
and
then 7:00 is Kelly's Heroes.
Okay. Because I'm going to get in touch with Tomoko and say, put aside a couple of tickets for me. I need to be there.
Great. Happy to have you. And thanks so much for talking about this. I really appreciate it.
Oh, sure. Looking forward. And by the way, just so you know, the radio show is open to, if something comes up that you want to chat about and put some publicity, just email me.
I'll reach out, definitely.
Just, yeah, reach out. I could do this every single day for up to an amount of 2 hours.
Okay, got it. And so how does it, is this podcast, but it's also live?
Yeah, people have heard everything you said.
Really? So people are listening.
So when you said, don't quote me, well, they just heard it anyway.
Wrath.
But I won't put it in the paper when I write about it.
Okay, good, good. Please don't.
Yeah,
no.
So basically I'm going to be listening to this and taking the information off from this to write the article. That's all.
Great. And
what
actually,
I'm
going to
do is I'll send you after the show is over, I'll send you the link to the show, and you could use it however you want. If you want people to listen to it, you know, you can, you know, publish it or, you know, put it on Facebook or whatever you want to do. I'll probably put it on Facebook anyway. Say, I just got off, doing the show about, you know, regards to Don Rickles, in case you want to hear it, and I put the link, and then people can kind of just click on and listen to this whole broadcast.
Got it.
If
and
they choose.
And the pod is the podcast also available on through Apple Podcasts, that sort of thing?
I don't know. It's basically the show is called Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
And I guess that if I just give you a link, people would click on the link and it'll go right to this particular episode.
Got it. Is there a studio? How does it work? Are you in a studio or is it?
Who, me?
Are you?
Oh, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting in my house.
Okay.
It's very easy to do. I just have a computer in front of me, a computer and a landline, and I guess people can do it, even if they, you know, if they don't have a landline, they could, you know, use their cell phone or whatever. The reason that you need a computer is to control everything, to click on things, or for instance, if I upload, like I have music, and I, you know, download music, and I want to feature somebody who's on the show, you know, things like that, or just, you know, take a break and play some music, or when the chickens, the rubber chickens come in and they want to say hello.
Got it, yeah.
Or a commercial, you know, whatever. That's what the computer is used for, because they have to
And so the Ronnie Brook Farm commercial, was that pre-recorded or was that you live?
No, that was pre-recorded, and it was me doing the commercial.
No, it's you, right?
Yeah.
It was you, but it was a pre-recording of you. Okay,
yeah, I had to, I had to do it and then, you know, put it on the side. I have another one. Actually, when I did this with two of them. I have another
funny.
One with the.
I like it. It's very funny.
I also did this. I have, I don't know if you're a brownie person, if you love brownies, but I love brownies, and I found this company called, Fairy Tale
Brownies.
And what happened is I said, oh, you know, listen, I want to, you know, give me something to play on the radio. And, you know, whatever they wrote, I said, it sucks. I'm going to write my own commercial. So I wrote that commercial. And and the same with Ronnie Brook Farms. I said, I want to come up with this idea for Ronnie Brook Farms. And I just did it myself. I said, hope you like it.
All right. Great. That's great.
You know,
that's very funny. What's the brownie company?
If you go to brownies.com.
Okay.
It's like, if you go to brownies.com,
right.
I can't even tell you, as a chocoholic, how I've never had brownies this good.
Wow. All right.
Yes.
You
have to check them out. It's like eating, almost like eating
check
fudge. I mean, it's like. Oh, okay. All right, my show's going to end in 90 seconds, so.
Okay, all right. Who said
that? I have
that?
To let you go now.
Who's telling?
And,
who,
we can always, you know, talk again if there's something else that comes up or anytime.
Okay, great. And, all right, yeah. I'll definitely keep in touch, and thanks so much for having me on. It was wonderful. And
sure.
Please, you know, everyone that's listening, Sunday, June 11th, The King of Zing, a Don Rickles tribute at the Museum of the Moving Image in Astoria, Queens. So,
okay.
4:30 and 7.
Come
up, all of it or one or, you know, we'll happy to have you. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Goodbye. Okay. So I'm going to now end the show. So have a good day, afternoon, evening, whenever you're listening to this.